Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Chapter 21, The Pastime of Stealing Krishna's Flute. After enjoying the Rasa Leela in the autumn season, Krishna relishes the pastimes of Holi and having his flute stolen, which take place in the spring season. One night, Govinda and Ram, Balaram, went to the forest of Vrindavan to enjoy the pastime of Holi, festival of throwing colors, which is enacted either in the morning or evening. The skillful festival performance exactly matched the local customs. The devatas were very enthusiastic to observe this celebration. Seeing the astonishing beauty of Krishna holding his flute and wearing a fresh garland, glittering garments and ornaments, the gopis tied him up in their hearts and sang his glories in charming voices. Krishna and Balaram and their dear coward boyfriends performed this pastime amongst the splendid gopis of Vrindavan, who are clever and skillful at playing holi. The two brothers, however, out of respect for each other's moods of love, played separately with their own groups of gopis whose minds relished the association of their respective lovers. Krishna and Balaram sang a special alapa in a raga with great devotion. Their artistic vocalizing of the appropriate notes and embellishments produced waves of continuous joy. Under the influence of the holy festival, the land of Vrindavan, having revived its strength after the long cold winter, looked beautiful and auspicious. To begin the festival, the young ladies of Vrindavan, who were adorned with all wonderful qualities and whose bodies looked attractive smeared with natural ointments, shyly held water in their hands and offered it to the land of Vrindavan. The coward boys and their associates sang lovely songs in Dvipadika and Charitala. Their traditional Brajabas song sounded as pleasing as the smell of musk. The accompaniment of kartals and sweet mridangas enhanced the charming vibration of their bangles and ankle bells. Krishna and Balaram played in this way for a long time and then wandered around in the lonely forest, pleasant with rows of young trees. The only signs of life in that deep forest were the maudlin cries of the peacocks piercing the evening sky. The rays of the moon filtering through the leaves of the trees painted the forest floor with splendid colors. Illumined by the moonlight of spring, the splendid forest atmosphere easily aroused the sweet mellows of conjugal love. Haladara, Balaram, the holder of the plow, looked extraordinarily elegant, moving with his own group of young gopi consorts. One golden earring enticingly danced on Balaram's cheek and his eyes rolled from drinking Boruni. With his dark blue chadar half falling off his camphor white chest, Balaram looked like the white moon breaking through the darkness. For some time, Baladev, who is a talented artist, danced to the beat of songs in Charchas and Dvipadika. Appearing like the personification of bliss, Balaram sang, laughed, and threw kumkum powder on his beloved gopis as if sprinkling the cinder of love on their foreheads. Backed by the veena, Balaram loudly sang a song in Dvipadika. Then, in a joking mood, he threw colored powders on the restless-eyed gopis. Balaram mixed with his many gopi group leaders and their companions in the same way that Krishna enjoys with his gopis like Radhika, Lalita, Chandravali, Shama, and Bhadra. Krishna, meanwhile, defeated the gopis' long-standing pride of their singing skill by playing sweetly but indistinctly on his flute. The gopis responded by surrounding Krishna and dousing him with kumkum while their bangles jingled joyfully. While tolerating the showers of kumkum, Hari hung his head down submissively like the best of youthful intoxicated elephants and continued playing his flute song in Charitala. As Krishna playfully moved with heroic steps, he met with Balaram, who rambled about like an intoxicated elephant along with his own group of enraptured young gopis. These gopis, who were completely attached to Balaram, gazed at him with tender eyes, conveying their affection for their beloved consort. Lifting their bangle-laden arms, they sang according to the beat and sometimes induced Balaram to sing along. While their ankle bells tinkled in time with the nimble movements of their feet, the gopis danced beside their beloved Balaram and threw kumkum powder on his body with great delight. Understanding the hints from Krishna's glances, the coward boys bombarded the gopis with red, white, and yellow-scented powders. Balaram's gopis ran away fearfully. Seeing their condition, Krishna smiled and mocked them by playing merrily on his flute. Krishna's gopis laughed along in sweet tones, while clapping their hands with a strong beat and bellowing, "Ho, ho, he, he!" Krishna's friends filled the four directions with robust laughter. His anger and passion inflamed, Rohini Nandana, roaring like a wild dung bull elephant suddenly spurred to competition, chased Krishna's companions to defeat them with a deluge of powders. Glancing forwards and backwards like lions stalking prey, Krishna's girlfriends desired victory. But losing their intelligence, they could not decide whether to attack or to retreat, so they all ran away. When Krishna's gopa friends counterattacked Baladev, he laughed as he squeezed them in his strong, snake-like arms and covered them with colorful powders. In the pleasure of playing, Krishna's coward boyfriends lost all sense of awe for Baladev as they shouted at him with contorted faces. Being very strong, they managed to get free from Baladev's grip. Gathering in a group, they fearlessly retaliated with a volley of vermilion flower bombs. Though defeated, Baladev remained fearless. Krishna, bathing everyone in the glow of his soft, sweet smile, said, "What you have done is not right. I do not like it. It is ungentlemanly to gang up on my brother who is all alone." Hearing this, all the boys calmed down. Moved by the emotions of comedy, pride, and anger, Baladev's complexion assumed a ruddy hue to appear like a diamond pillar embraced by red lotuses. The majestic form of Balaram shone like a huge crystal bud reflecting the red jubba flower, or like a proud pinnacle of ice touched by the pink of early dawn. Baladev looked as elegant as a mountain of white lotuses covered by a forest of pink lotuses inhabited by Chakravaka birds. He looked like a full moon anointed with vermilion glowing in the red evening sunset. Seeing him thus, Balaram's gopis surrounded him and amused him with blissful singing and dancing as they wandered off together. Meanwhile, Krishna's gopis, their hearts full of longing and drunk with the potion of love, enhanced the festival atmosphere with various amorous gestures indicating their conjugal desires. Conspiring together, they planned a theft. The gopis said, "How can we steal that flute, which is like a snake scented with aguru, from Krishna's strong arms? What will Krishna do without his flute? Is it a good idea to put our beloved into depression? But when the flute is in Krishna's hands, it acts like a lance to cleverly pierce our hearts with its sweet, enchanting melody. Therefore, we must get that flute in our hands." Smiling surreptitiously, the lotus-eyed gopis continued whispering among themselves, "We cannot take the flute in Krishna's presence, nor does he ever put it down. Even in a state of confusion, he does not let go of it. Among these three possibilities, we must find some way to steal it. The third possibility, taking it out of Krishna's hand when he is bewildered, is the strongest." In order to bewilder Krishna, one expert gopi met Radhika in a lonely place and confided, "O fortunate Radha, if you really want to take Krishna's flute under your control, then put on a show of obstinacy for some time. The impudence of Krishna's flute playing will flee, and the skill of our singing will become prominent." After the gopis' secret talk, Krishna's close friend Kusumasava, though not knowing their complete plan, boldly spoke to Krishna. Combining shrewdness with the fragrance of the flowering creeper of frank talkativeness, Kusumasava said, "O friend, listen. Though the gopis are very learned, their singing cannot match your ambrosial flute playing. So out of jealousy, they are planning to steal your flute. To prevent this, you should keep your flute with me and sing in a loud voice. The gopis will not be able to approach me because of the power of my brahminical austerities." Krishna replied, "O friend, we have fully witnessed the great strength of the brahmanas in the pastimes of your spring festival. Without a doubt, it seems that today you will show us the festival of protecting the flute as well." Kusumasava said, Oh friend, I cannot protect the flute as much as that person who has given you the ability to attract everyone by the special power of his mantra. But one cannot see such a person in this world. So what is the question of someone trying to take your flute? Do not mistrust a dear friend like me. Krishna said, what will you do if the intensely frenzied gopis, due to being overpowered by bliss, just snatch the flute from your hand? How will you get it back? Kusumasava replied, you will see the power I have gained from penance. Then taking the flute and tucking it under his arm, he said, please sing a song. In a voice conquering the sound of the veena, Krishna sang a song in the Charchari Tala with great artistry. The Jamuna stopped flowing in her stunned condition, the trees rained tears, and the birds and animals trembled in ecstasy. Hearing the song, the does felt blissful and licked up the drops of perspiration behind each other's ears. It seemed that the streams of sweetness from Krishna's song entered the ear holes of the deer and then oozed out due to finding insufficient space. The expertly composed raga pleased the ear due to its precise shrutis, jatis, and seven notes. Kusumasava proudly boasted, how wonderful! My friend, I have never heard such strong singing in the Charchari Tala in all my years. O arrogant gopis, you cannot sing songs with a lapa that give such happiness. Sangita Vidya, a learned gopi musician, said, O unintelligent one, if Lalita, who is wearing a gorgeous silk sari, can sing better than Krishna, then, crooked-minded fellow, you will lose the flute. Let the flute be the wager. Kusumasava said, O learned one, only I know the science of music. It is difficult for an ordinary person to know, even if engaged in constant meditation on the subject. According to my final judgment, I will proclaim the winner at the appropriate time. This will please the devatas and be agreeable to all. Sangita Vidya said, O learned Brahmin boy, this is not simply chanting the Vedas which satisfies the Vedic scholars. Who are you to judge this? While smiling, Krishna continued singing and hinted with a glance. Understanding his intentions, Kusumasava said, O vain woman, if you do not agree that my knowledge of music is sufficient for judging, then we should agree that the singing of both parties is equal. Let us see if your singing, like Krishna's, can stun the Jamuna water, bring tears to the trees and creepers, and make the birds and animals tremble in ecstasy. I am certain that no one can sing as zestfully as my friend. Therefore, we will wager the flute. If you want to gamble over the singing, then to be fair, you must offer Radha as a wager from your side. Lalita said, O stupid boy, a fool makes the whole world insipid. In all gambling matches, the stakes must be of equal value. We can never equate glass with gold. Kusumasava responded, O worshipable one, do you think that my dear friend's flute is like glass and that your friend is like gold? Lita answered, Is there any doubt? If you want equal stakes, then without fear, you should wager your friend. Kusumasava said, All right then, begin singing. Since I am totally pure in heart, I will wager my friend. Then Lalita, her throat reddened and her eyebrows dancing, gave up all shyness to sing a gentle Kedara rag with boldness and enthusiasm. Lalita clearly enunciated a variety of gamakas, trills spanning from lower to higher octaves, ascending and descending. Using the full grandeur of the Gandharva scale, Lalita easily surpassed the expertise of the Gandharvas and vanquished their pride. After feelingly singing the alapa without tal and Kedara rag, Lalita sang a song in a pleasing tempo according to the conventions of musical taste in the Maharashtrian dialect. Lalita sang, The brightly shining moon of Sham, the nectarian disk endowed with all arts, is expert at giving bliss to the lotuses and in agitating the ocean of prema. Krishna, the beloved of Vrindavan, who wears a crown of mango buds while fondly sporting in the spring, is partial to his girlfriends. With great pride, Kusumasava held his arms above his head and pranced about while blurting out, "Hey, hey, you are defeated. Oh, Lalita has been defeated." Unseen, Krishna's flute slipped from Kusumasava's armpit and fell on the ground. Without anyone in the universe knowing, Sangeeta Vidya quickly snatched it up and hid it. Overwhelmed with vanity, she did not even tell her friends about it. She spoke to talkative Kusumasava. "Listen, why are you so happy over something that has never happened? You are prancing around like a madman. Your friend with the fickle ankle bells should consider who is the actual winner." Kusumasava replied to Sangeeta Vidya, "O one respected by the learned, according to me, your defeat is evident, for the wager was laid for singing in Charcharital. Lalita sang only one little fragment in Dwipadikatal. O one with a happy face, please consider, has she been defeated or not?" Hearing this, Lalita and Sangeeta Vidya broke out in laughter. Sangeeta Vidya said, "O uncouth one, what is remarkable about Charchari, Dwipadi, or Jambhuli? The attraction is in the use of Murchana, Swara, and Grama. Lalita's song displayed the epitome of sweetness. Indeed, just see. The jewel basins under the trees have melted into water due to the strong currents of her song. By its nature, this water has spread out around the bases of the trees and solidified as sitting platforms. It is true that from your friend's song, the Yamuna looks divine, the trees of Vrindavan become conscious, and the birds and animals seem fully alive. But by our friend's song, they have all become petrified like hard rock. Therefore, we have won. Bring your friend and hand him over to us." Subalsaka said, "O Sangeeta Vidya, how is it that you have become covered with foolishness just like an ignorant person? With such intelligence, can you understand music? Did it not occur to you that it is impossible for this boy to wager Krishna and give him away? It is an accepted rule that a person can wager only one who is his dependent. No one can wager and give away the Lord." Krishna said, "Kusumasava, now you cannot command the respect of others. You have been defeated by these girls who are proud of their victory and mad with the intoxication of the festival. You will fall into an inescapable condition. Therefore, you had better give the flute. Otherwise, my flute will go along with you anyway." Kusumasava said, "Oh friend, but I have won. Showing your strength, you should snatch away their dear companion." Lalita said, "Unabashed you are, hard-working ass, dullard. We have wagered on the song I sang, and the song proclaims my victory." Kusumasava said, "Friend, greedy woman, if you speak in such an arrogant way, then take the flute which I have hid." Saying this, he looked for the flute, but could not find it. "O friend, out of fear, the flute has run away from my armpit to some safe garden with unbroken creepers." When he said this, everyone broke out smiling.